Welcome to the Killgem Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Mudaszewski. You're joining us for the part two of the Crew UK update, and we're picking up where we've left off, where I've been chatting with Matthew Davies, the head of the Killgem technical departments, about the latest changes introduced by the Campaign for the Responsible Rodenticide Use UK. Stay tuned for your CPD code, which will be revealed within the episode. So we've covered the training and the CPD side of things with regards to the strengthening measures, and you kind of touched on it already as you were talking there. Are there any other measures being brought in by crew?
Absolutely. The major strengthening measure is the removal of open area use for the second generation anticoagulant rodenticides.
Oh, yes.
That's hugely significant, and you know, it may be that measure of them all will be the one that really has an impact on the stubbornly static residues of anticoagulants in bile and our livers.
Yeah.
And that one, we're looking forward into the relatively near future for the training and certification changes, January 2026. Mm-hmm. We're actually looking a little bit back for the open area use side of things. That was the 31st of December 2024.
Right.
That was the final cutoff date for open area use for certain products. And it's impacted certain difenacoom and bromodilone products that were labelled for open area use.
Yeah.
And it's no longer the case. Can't be done. It would be illegal to do that now.
Okay.
And, you know, we've got to change how we work, but it's something that we're perfectly capable of doing. There are certain options out there for open area use.
Perfect. So about the open areas use of rodenticides, just for those who might not be sure as to what that entails, what would you consider an open area? Could you tell us a little bit more about that? And I think you've mentioned a couple of options there, if you want to elaborate.
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place to look for this information is go straight to the Crew UK Code of Best Practice.
Okay.
That was updated in summertime 2024. It's got all the information about open area use in there, and it does give some definitions about what an open area actually is.
Okay.
And one of the main examples given, it's somewhere that's away from a building.
Mm.
And I will talk about these areas now. We'll then come on to what around a building means, because that's really important as well.
Okay.
So open areas are areas that are away from buildings. And I've got some examples here straight from the Crew UK Code of Best Practice. It lists in there examples of what are normally open areas.
Mm-hmm.
Public parks and gardens is pretty clear to me. That's an open area.
Okay.
We've got examples like railways, that includes embankments and cuttings. Mm-hmm. Canals are on the list. Thinking of other water, then we've got the banks of natural water courses and reservoirs.
Right.
They're listed. Footpaths and bridleways.
Mm-hmm.
Cycle paths, allotments. We've also got airports and airfields on the list. We've got to be sensible with those. You know, we're yes. familiar with the bigger international airports, and clearly there's buildings there.
Hmm.
But it is the more open areas associated with those sites. Field margins are clearly an open area, and we've got hedgerows and feed hoppers as well. So I hope that fleshes out what an open area is for the listeners.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I think that's always the best thing. Follow the product label and rely on that crew code of best practice.
So essentially anywhere sort of away from the building that you're looking to protect from a potential activity of rodents that could cause damage, public health issues.
That's it. And in those more open areas, I understand the argument. You know, you could say that you're more likely to have wildlife in those areas that could become contaminated with second generation anticoagulant rodenticides. And we've mentioned the barn owl earlier on in the podcast, and they of course take non-target small mammals such as wood mice and bank voles that may have consumed rodenticide directly from an external bait station meant for Norway rat control. And the less we do in those areas, the better. And in fact, you know, it's completely prohibited in open areas with the anticoagulants, I should reinforce.
Yeah.
There is an option, of course, regarding rodenticide use in open areas. I think it was you, Mike, that came to me and said you heard some misconceptions.
That's right, yes, about obviously some people coming up to me at the event and asking if the restrictions around open areas use relate to burrow baiting, which might sometimes be the case.
That's right, and there are different strands to this, and it is a misconception. Some people have read the news, got the information and misinterpreted it and thought, well, burrow baiting is banned.
Mm.
And it just isn't. Burrow baiting is perfectly permissible when the product label expressly states for burrow baiting. We've just got to make sure that we don't burrow bait in open areas.
There we go.
We can burrow bait around buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's absolutely fine. It fits the area of use of around a building, which is absolutely permissible on the relevant anticoagulant labels. And it's the type of use burrow baiting that's also included. The area is correct. The type of use is correct. Burrow baiting around buildings can be done. It wouldn't be me if I added a caveat. All of that, of course, is subject to having performed a suitable environmental risk assessment.
Of course.
You're expecting me to say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Perfect. Right, so I guess with the open areas restrictions, the definition that you mentioned that you can find on the label, the in and around the buildings definition, is going to become a lot more important as to what actually stands for and represents.
It's become a lot more important, and it's crucial that we get that right with the around buildings definition and what that actually means.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that is well covered in the Crew UK Code of Best Practice. I'm going to do what I don't normally do. I will sort of read it word for word, as you can forgive me, just to make sure I get the right message across. And there is what I prepared earlier, guys. I haven't memorised it. I'm not that bad. But yeah, this is really important. So taking my tongue out of my cheek and being so straight down the line with this one. The in and around buildings definition, straight from the Crew UK Code of Best Practice. In and around buildings is understood to include the entire building that is the subject of the treatment, or those areas of it that are or may become infested. It also includes the infested area around the building that needs to be treated in order to deal with the rodents that are potentially moving into the building, causing damage to the building or property, or present a risk to the health of people or other animals. So I'll leave that definition where it is. I think if you're on a full training course or a webinar or pre-recorded sort of training offering, we delve into it in more detail.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to make sure I put that out there on the podcast. And there it is in its full entirety.
Absolutely. Right, so we've covered the open areas and in and around the buildings. So I guess the sort of natural flow of things would dictate for us to have a little chat about the, as silly as it sounds, the definition of a building.
Yeah, it does go that way, doesn't it? You know, we've lost the open area use for anticoagulants. We really need to nail down what a round a building is, which we've got right there. I went through that full definition. But yeah, it does move straight onto what's a building in the first place before we even decide what's around a building. So I'm going to be a little bit naughty again and read straight from the Crew Code. We did plan a couple of these questions ahead of time, guys, the listeners. It wouldn't be fair for Mike to drop a detailed question like this on me without prior warning. The rest of it's pretty natural, but these ones are... There's a little bit of scripting occasionally on these things. Insider knowledge. So again, straight from the Crew UK Code of Best Practice. What is a building? For the purposes of rodent pest management, a building is typically considered to be a permanent fixed structure, forming an enclosure and providing protection from the elements. Buildings can be used to exclude certain non-target animals and birds from taking baits placed inside. They are usually erected on foundations, largely enclosed and constructed from wood, brick, concrete or metal. Temporary structures or structures that can easily be moved would not generally be considered to be buildings. And that's the full information there.
Right. So as you were talking, sort of a thought just popped into my head. Where do waste dumps fall into this whole situation at the moment?
Well, good. You've actually saved me there, Mike, because I'm very focused on the open area use that's been lost from anticoagulants. Absolutely, we need to remind listeners that waste dumps have been removed as an area or type of use from the anticoagulant rodenticide labels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's open areas and waste dumps have been taken off.
Okay.
Neither of those areas can we use anticoagulants. So yeah, definitely a really important one to mention. There's potential for that to be sort of lost in the bigger headline information.
Yeah.
I'll do my sort of caveat and say follow the label. You know, there'll be an absence of waste dumps on the anticoagulant rodenticide labels, and that's always the giveaway. It's the way labels are written, really. They tell you what you can do most of the time.
Yeah.
It's rare to say thou shalt not on the label. But yeah, 31st of December 2024 was the last date for use of labelled anticoagulants that were for open area use and waste dumps. And we've got to be a bit careful with the waste dump wording as well, you know.
Yeah.
Because that splits out. And I'll give an example here. Waste dumps and landfills, these are the ones that fall under that waste dump definition. Mm. That's where the open area use and the waste dump use has been lost. The waste dumps wording, that does not include municipal waste management facilities.
Right, okay.
If you do rodent control there, then that's still permissible. That's falling into the around buildings definition. And as an example of what a municipal waste management facility is, in normal speak, for example, that's a recycling centre.
Yeah.
You know, think of your local recycling centre. I know mine.
Hmm.
That's not classed as a waste dump. And thankfully, that is spelt out in the Crew UK Code of Best Practice.
Perfect.
But yeah, thanks for bringing that one up. That was necessary.
Yeah, no, perfect. Thank you very much. Okay, so anticoagulants are a no-go for open areas and landfill sites. That's for sure. Is there anything that we can use in those sorts of situations? Are there any other options left?
That's right. With rodent control in general, we always talk about the risk hierarchy, proofing, housekeeping, hygiene, non-chemical measures such as use of traps. And that's, you know, we're well versed in that. It's throughout the Crew UK Code of Best Practice. I will jump on to rodenticide options because our listeners trained competent, familiar with the Crew UK Code of Best Practice, so we know the lead up to that. There is an appropriately labelled cholecalciferol based rodenticide that does have open areas on the label. It also includes borobating as well, so that would be a rodenticide option for that situation. And in fact, that answers sort of query or misconception. I did have a customer come to me and say, look, Matt, you know, we look after public parks and gardens.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like there are no options available.
Mm.
I think people have sort of seen the headlines and thought there's no rodenticide option available for open areas. But there is that cholecalciferol option. And as always, follow that product label to the letter in conjunction with the Crew UK Code of Best Practice, and we'll achieve rodent control while at the same time protecting wildlife. And that's the aim.
Perfect. Just a quick interruption. We couldn't leave you without your CPD basis prompt code to claim your points. This episode's code is non-target-CPD-624. Again, all capital, no spaces, non-target-CPD-624. Back to the podcast. So, listen, Matt, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us about all the changes, ongoing changes with Crew and how we do things. Just before I let you go, if there's any listeners that would like to find out any additional information, where would they be able to find them? Where would you direct them?
Yeah, it makes sense. I think the Crew UK Code of Best Practice is on the thinkwildlife.org website, full of really useful information. And there's an FAQ there as well, frequently asked questions, especially that covers the training and certification side of things.
That's good.
There's a useful infographic there. I like things that are quite visual that helps me understand. So have a look at the infographic. I know that Crew UK are working really hard on the communication side of things. They're on social media. They've released a number of videos that explain what Crew is all about. So you can follow them on social media as well as going direct to the Crew UK website. And, you know, it's an obvious thing for me to say. Of course, I'm going to say speak to Killjoan.
Yep.
And, you know, consider Killjoan training as well. And that's a logical path for people to take. You can also subscribe to Pest Control News, an industry periodical.
Oh, yes.
You'll get newsletters in via emails. You'll get the issues of Pest Control News. You can sign up for a physical copy, which is quite nice in this day and age.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that comes through a letterbox and have a thumb through that one. It's also available to download on the pestcontrolnews.com website. So that's one route. But yeah, the Killjoan guys, I mean, you know, we're doing something right now, working hard on a podcast, putting the word out. I mentioned during the podcast the webinar that we did about all the Crew latest changes. Get the CPD points that you need through that. The recorded studio versions of the same material that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Going on a face-to-face training course. And I think sometimes with the face-to-face stuff, it's nice when you get that formal presentation from a trainer.
Yeah.
But having a chat with other delegates, Tea breaks, lunch breaks, you get good information from those kind of chats as well. And I think in the modern world, you know, we still need that face-to-face interaction so everybody can keep that up and learn as we go along. But yeah, lots of avenues for good information as well. You know, speak to your trade associations, manufacturers and authorisation holders of redundant size all have the same information, and everybody contributes to crew. But yeah, certainly Killjoe Technical are here. We've got our technical hotline. Not sure Louise Lowen will thank me for advertising her services to the entire world, but we've got qualified, experienced technical staff on hand. And, you know, people like Louise are there to help you through. Absolutely. As well as the trainers like ourselves. So, yeah, we'll do our best to keep everybody up to date. And thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you enjoy. And, yeah, I've enjoyed it. So, yeah, thanks to you as well, Mike.
Thanks, Matt. Nice one. I'll see you soon. Again, massive thanks to Dr. Matt for joining us and talking about the latest crew changes and what we can do to make sure we're all ready come 2026. Join us on the next episode, where I'm going to be chatting to Christian and Nikolai from Skatec in Norway about their innovative bedbug product called Exhale that they're bringing to the UK market. See you then.